Minutes agenda revised for 1985, 8:30 a.m. here in Room A. This is a public hearing of staff presentation on the public retirement exclusion from income taxes, work session on HB 2232, HB 2866, HJR 26, public hearing on HB 2177. Tape 176, side A.
On our agenda this morning is a presentation of an idea for bill introduction, and the presentation will be made by Michelle Durham, who represents an organization called Just Taxation, Inc. And the idea is one that was similar to a measure that was proposed during the 1983 session, but didn't go anywhere. And the question is whether or not the committee is interested in pursuing this concept in 1985. Ms. Durham? Okay.
Takes care of it
very fine. So much for that, Bill. I should have checked that out before the explanation. Let's see, Representative Markham. We probably ought to alert Representative Markham that we're considering taking up his bills, 2866 and HJR 26. I think we're getting full strength now. Who are we missing?
Yeah, Nero.
Mrs. Hugo and Hostick. Hugo and Hostick, let's just see if we can
find Hostick. I think we're going to have to go down into D.
Somewhere down there. Would you maybe have Terry run again? Tell him we're going to do a work session. Yeah, I want to do this and get this one.
Okay, you need Terry.
Okay, I need Terry. Okay, Hostick and Hugo. Okay. While we're waiting for Representative Markham to come and initiate our discussion on House Bill 2866 and HJR 26. Two hero measures that I think that vitally interested in. We will turn to the work session on House Bill 2232. Terry, would you start off by giving us a brief description of what 2232 looked like as it was introduced by the interim committee? Then give us a description of the alternative that the property tax subcommittee provided to the full committee as an alternative to the original bill, and then let's turn to work session and some discussion on which of the two we want to pursue, the original bill or the amendments that was proposed by the subcommittee. Good morning.
Okay, in your book, behind the exhibits tab, is the impact statement on original 2232, then the bill, then the proposed amendments. The original bill basically removes the special farm use assessment that is allowed for land under the homestead. The attempt here is to remove the tax benefits with respect to that special assessment. Remember in our earlier discussions with respect to that what that does is it tends to remove a significant portion of the special assessment, of the tax reduction of special assessments for smaller farms, and actually as you get to larger farms, it actually turns into a tax benefit, because when you put this value back on the rolls at market value, you tend to drive the tax rate down. So it attempts to address the hobby farm issue by sort of getting at those by way of the size and the relative value the hobby farms have under the homestead, which is quite high. In the option, the -3 amendments, takes an alternative, and it's kind of, it's more of a targeting approach by applying some income tests to the qualification for both farm use and the qualification for the land under the homestead special assessment. Basically, it makes three changes. One is it makes a change in the existing income test for farm use by requiring there be a subtraction from the gross sales of the cost of livestock. And we went through some discussions on the use of that now to currently qualify for farm use. It requires that in order to receive the land under the farm dwelling special assessment in an EFU zone, it requires an income test if the farm in the EFU zone is less than 20 acres or the minimum lot size for that zone. So what you're doing is you're saying, okay, some EFU farmland, if it's relatively small, 20 acres or smaller than the value, now must meet an additional test to get the value under the homestead, and that income test is the same as the income test for, is that gross income test that exists in the law now, but with that, also with that change on the reduction from the sales price, the reduction of the gross sales according to the whatever the purchase price of those of that livestock was. So the option, so the amendments as to 2232 are really an income test targeting approach rather than the original bill, which is a broad brush sort of statistical approach that removes the special assessment tax reductions, but in the process of doing that tends to target, not exactly, but tends to target smaller farms.
Discussion? We have before us two different alternatives. One was the treatment that was in the original bill as introduced by the interim committee, pre-session filed. Second are the amendments that the property tax subcommittee generated, and frankly, I'm open to whichever course the committee wants to pursue. Are there recommendations by committee members, those on the property tax sub or others? Representative McCracken?
I'd be prepared to move the amendments that the property tax subcommittee recommended. I believe those are the dash three amendments.
Okay, let's have a little more discussion to see where the committee wants to go before we place any motions. But I think Representative McCracken has put his wishes before us. Other discussion? Representative Hostica?
I think that both approaches try to get at the same goal, and they do it in different ways and have different kind of advantages. Seems to me the original bill probably has the advantage of simplicity and administrative convenience, but it's hard to explain to people what the positive impact of raising their assessments could be upon them. And the amendments, I think, do address more definitely what the issue is. It makes it harder to administer it, but I think it makes it more understandable for people. And on that basis, I was favoring the amendments that were brought forth by the subcommittee.
Further discussion? Representative Trahern?
Mr. Chairman, I guess we see problems with both in some respects. As Representative Hoska pointed out, it's difficult for folks sometimes to understand when you raise the value why it's an advantage to them. But I think we have to look also at the equity of it, which is a factor. And from that perspective, I kind of like the first proposal a bit better. I look at the example, and perhaps most of you have the long sheets that Mr. Worrell submitted, but on the page, if you happen to have that, on the page it's marked home sites, he points out that a typical 1 acre home site in District 4 has a value of about $15,000. Just did a quick computation, a 30 acre parcel under farm use would have an average farmland value of $361 an acre. So if you take the 30 acres times the 361, and then he's adding $4,000 to the well and septic, you end up with a land value on that 30 acre parcel under farm use in the present law of $14,830. versus the 1 acre down the road someplace at 15,000, recognizing that the farmer does have the other 29 acres to be able to farm, and he's still paying less tax on that full 30-acre parcel than the person that just has a place to put their home. And I think that kind of points out, in my mind, the equity or lack of equity under the present law. And I think that the 20-acre trade-off that the amendments have would not address that particular situation, because it's still only talking about 20 and less. For that reason, I much prefer the original bill.
Further discussion?
Mr. Pippin.
Sure. Jim Clory.
Mr. Chairman, I kind of concur with everything that's been said, but have a leaning toward the original bill also, and for some of the same reasons, but also have had some brief discussions with other members about the possibility of making a slight change to that, to the extent of reducing the amount of land under discussion from 1 acre to a half acre. And I'll be glad to kind of give some kind of rationale about why that might be when it's appropriate.
Okay. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Traher.
Looking at Representative Clory's interest there, I suspect that probably a half an acre is more reflective, you know, what's a typical farm. That's any and everything in the world out there, but generally speaking, probably it would be more logical to say that typically they're using a half an acre for their home site rather than a full acre.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bracken.
I'm very much interested in this issue. I think it's an important priority for the committee, and I think it's important for us to present to the House floor a passable bill, one that is worked out, one that the interest groups have got together on, come up with a compromise that is embodied in your Dash 3 amendments. Your property tax subcommittee worked for many days on this issue, came to the conclusion with the majority of that subcommittee, though one member now apparently has changed his mind. Nonetheless, that work was solid, and I think that we ought to just respect the work of the advocates of this bill and the compromises that have been made with the Farm Bureau and get on with a decent measure.
Mr. Chairman.
Sam Burroughs.
I want either the amendments or the original bill, but for now I'm going to go with the original bill, because it seems like, I can't imagine what was going through our minds in 79, but I think it's fair and equitable. I'm enamored with the original bill, but this committee needs to deal with this issue either through the amendments or through the original bill.
Sounds like we're fairly evenly split. I like Representative Burroughs. I think the decision that we made in 79 was, in retrospect, 2020 hindsight, not a very good decision. I think the work that was done by the subcommittee was excellent. I'm attracted to the amendments for one reason, and not only deals with the land of the home site, but it sets up qualification procedures and standards for the rest of the lands that are less than minimum in exclusive farm use zones, and I think the application of and the amendments is a little broader, but I'm really open to going either way, and it looks like we have a fairly even split in the committee thus far. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Sue Hanlon.
For what it's worth, I prefer the amendments.
One more.
Is this a party line?
You're getting to look like it.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hugo.
I wonder if I could ask a question of the subcommittee chair, and that is, we're discussing two potential solutions. Would you, as briefly and succinctly as possible, define the problem?
Representative Hostica.
Yeah, I think the problem is fairly clear, is that, there are a number of two problems, depending on how you look at it. One problem could be stated that people are getting tax breaks that they really don't deserve, that they're getting a reduced assessment on their property as if it were in farm use, when they're really not farmers, but they're using the property for enlarged home sites with certain amenities on it. I think another way of stating the problem is to say that through our tax laws, we're also giving the wrong signals. We're making it attractive for people to set up rural home sites in exclusive farm use zones. And in essence, where the tax law says, well, you get a lot of breaks if you go out there and set up housekeeping in that EFU zone, when the land use planning is supposed to say that EFU zone is for legitimate farming purposes. So one problem would be that people are getting tax breaks who don't deserve them. Another problem would be is the society is sending, or the government is sending, conflicting signals to people about what they ought to be doing out there in the EFU zones.
What was it unanimous and sub for the amendments?
3-1.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Richard Trager.
One of the other concerns I think that's been addressed on the amendments is the difficulty in the administration. We thought, as we talked about something that the assessor that went out to court, saw a marginal fine. Said, well, gee, let's really look at the income of that particular individual. Would be pretty well able to do that. But someone pointed out to me that the first time that goes to an appeal and the person that's been declassified because they're you know, quite meet the income test, takes it to court and they say, gee, show us where you checked all the other income on all the others, even though we might all agree, yes, that's really a very legitimate farm operation. And the assessor says, well, gee, you know, I didn't do that because I drove by and they really look like a real farm. Would have a real possibility of losing that kind of a case for that reason, because it would be arbitrary administration. And it was something that I hadn't even thought about at the time that the subcommittee was meeting, but I think that's a real possibility of making it difficult to administer. So to really administer properly, the county's going to have to say to every farmer that's under the minimum lot size, some of them is over 20, thou must give us all this information. And I think that's going to be a little difficult to do too.
Mr. Chairman.
Chief McCracken.
The only testimony in favor of the original House Bill 2232 that Representative Trahern is advocating was from county assessors. And though I respect them, there are at most 36 county assessors in the state of Oregon. The amendments are supported by Oregonians in agriculture. Almost are supported by the Farm Bureau. Much broader consensus. It was the assessor's objections, I believe, that failed, or that allowed the legislature to fail in reaching a compromise when this issue was before it last session. I'm just ready to vote. I think, you know, compare how many, I don't know how many farmers are in Oregon, but I'm sure there are more than 36.
Mr. Chairman.
Jim Burroughs.
One of my concerns in adopting the amendments is that we're adopting it because it's less onerous and not because it's good policy. Mm. Now, the policy question is, should land under a homestead be taxed, be it a farmer or anyone else? And everyone else has the land, you know, supposedly under their property taxed. To me, we should be dealing with a policy question. And my feeling is that we've kind of backed away, well, this is a way to deal with the hobby farmers, and we're not dealing really with the policy question of should ranchers, farmers have the land under their homestead taxed. And to me, that's the question. And what I want to know, what I'm feeling, maybe this is a little less onerous. And I'm not suggesting that, I'm feeling that.
Representative Clory.
Well, I think that in a way I agree with that, but I think one of the things that's kind of interesting that we have not spent hardly any time talking about, we've talked, in many ways we look at this as to who can get out of paying taxes and things having to do with appraisals and so forth. And one of the things we haven't spent a whole lot of time about is talking about the fact that the reason that we tax properties is to be able to pay for services and that people, in fact, use services. And if you kind of look at it from that standpoint and talk about equity in terms of whether or not we are giving people an opportunity to pay their fair share of the services they receive, then that seems to me that it puts it in a little bit different light. And I think that, to me, kind of tips the scale a little bit more in favor of trying to do a fair valuation and just directly take it from head on, you know, what's the right valuation for these properties? And that's kind of one of the reasons why I lean that way.
My reaction is there's really two potential policy questions that we could address here, and we really have to take our choice. Do we want to narrow our discussions to the land under the home site, or do we want to take on the quote-unquote hobby farm issue? And maybe more than anything else, that's the decision that we have to make. I frankly get the sense that it's a fairly even split in the committee, and if anything, leaning toward the amendments. And the fact that the amendments came out of the subcommittee on a 3-to-1 vote, I think that probably necessitates that we take the motion to amend, and if that in fact is adopted, then we pursue the bill as amended. If that's defeated, then we go with the original bill. I'm not certain how else to proceed. That appears to be the most equitable next step. Discussion on that procedure?
May I ask a question?
Jim Burroughs?
If the amendments prevail, it would be my request of the chairman that we pursue this in the interim. Because to me, if the amendments prevail, it's just one step. We're dealing with the hobby farms. We really haven't dealt with the whole policy question of that land under the homestead. So it would be my request, if the amendments prevail, that we do spend some time on this during the interim.
One other option would be to not make the decision today, put it off again, and allow the members, give the members the opportunity to work each other over.
Which happens often.
Representative Clary? Oh, excuse me, Representative Hostica?
Yeah, we switched nameplates. With due respect to our vice chair, having served last interim on this committee, I recall we spent a good deal of time during the interim going over precisely the same questions we're going over in the subcommittee and precisely the same questions we're going over today. I guess I don't feel that much new is going to be discovered, and I also don't feel that the differences between the two views are that critical. So I'm prepared to support the amendments. If the amendments failed, I'm still prepared to send the bill out as written, and hope that others would join me in that approach to it.
Representative Burroughs?
I was, until I hear there's no point in studying this further. Because we barely dealt with the question. We're dealing with just the hobby farms. We're not dealing with the issue. And all I'm asking is, let's try it over during the interim. If I'm hearing the amendments will prevail and the subject's over, then I'm a no vote. If I think we can go into the interim and talk about this some more, I'm willing to go with amendments, at least deal with the hobby farms.
Let's be candid about it. Whatever any of the nine of you want to study during the interim, we will study during the interim. You will all be serving on the interim committee. Each of you will participate in developing the agenda for the interim. So if there are some strong feelings by any one member on any topics, that'll be a point for discussion during the interim. Do you want to proceed, or do you want to have the chance to allow the process to work internally a little more?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern.
Perhaps we'd be better off to let it work internally a little more. I really am very concerned with the amendments.
I
think there's some real danger in enacting that kind of legislation at this point. I just don't think that they're going to be workable and going to solve the problem at all. And that's
Representative McCracken?
It is April 19th. The chairman's priority bill. We have had numerous hearings in the subcommittee and far more hearings than necessary work sessions in the full committee. I'm prepared to move the amendments if you'd accept it.
Representative Hostica, let me seek a little advice from you. You chaired the subcommittee. I guess my thinking at this point is if we do have this kind of division in the committee, I'd like to take one more chance, not necessarily in a subcommittee or in full committee, but just some discussions outside of committee to see if we might be able to move a little closer to closure. And if we do have two very distinct positions in the committee, and we need to come back and resolve that by taking a vote, I'm certainly willing to do that, but should we take one more stab at trying to get a little more consensus or move today?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I would think that my own view is that I don't think there's much more that I will learn on this, but as I said, I did serve during the interim, heard all of this. I believe I heard all of this during last session, too. I think this issue was before this committee last session. Those members who feel that they want to take more time, I would urge them to talk to perhaps former Senator McPherson from Oregonians for Agriculture, who also has worked on this issue for a good deal of time, and perhaps any other interested parties to get their views on that, if the educational process or if their thinking could be changed during that period, then it's probably worth taking time. I would say, though, I would like to see a vote on this before the session ends.
We will vote on, if we don't do it today, we will vote on this next week, guaranteed. We will decide the issue. It is a priority topic for the committee. I get the sense that we might want to lay the bill over until next week. Is there an objection? Okay. The next two items on our agenda, let's take them together. House Bill 2866 and House Joint Resolution 26. And to lead off those two bills, I'd like to ask Representative Markham to please come forward. Welcome, Brian.
Chairman, members, it's nice to be back. I just about said everything I could say about these two pieces of legislation last week, whenever it was, last Wednesday or last hearing, whatever.
You already did all that?
That's right.
And there was a couple other witnesses that from the retired groups that would like to say a word or two. And
okay, my apologies. I wasn't here when you presented, and nobody was... Nobody took an assertive enough position with me this morning to tell me that that's already occurred while I was gone.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Jim Trahan?
We thought Representative Markham would have some new and wondrous additions to add to the comments.
I'm sure.
You don't have anything new to say?
I'm sure I could speak for the next 25 minutes when it's been a short turn on the sales tax up on the floor. And I'm not sure you want to hear me again, Representative Trahan.
Well, we appreciate you coming back and introducing some of the folks that will be testifying this morning in the bills. That's great. In fact, at this time, why don't we go ahead and call Ivan Bodine and Bob Van Hout. Ivan is from the State Legislative Committee for AARP, and Bob Van Hout is from United Seniors.
He was here Wednesday.
Well, he testified. He already testified.
Very briefly. Very briefly.
We were
very rushed.
All right. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Ivan Bodine, member of the State Legislative Committee of the American Association of Retired Persons. And this morning I'd like to share with you, I believe you have a copy of this, a letter from the chairman of the State Legislative Committee, James Ferguson. He's unable to be here, so I will take his place. This is to inform the Revenue Committee that the Oregon members of the American Association of Retired Persons are in support of legislation that would place Oregon in opposition to levying state income tax on Social Security benefits. Members of the State Legislative Committee for the American Association of Retired Persons have voted endorsement of House Bill 2866 and separately support the concepts embodied in House Joint Resolution 26, which conforms with the national policy of the American Association of Retired Persons opposing state taxation of federal Social Security benefits and railroad retirement benefits.
I
would just add one further thing that I'm speaking basically this morning for 227,000 Oregonians.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hanlon?
The question I have, the federal government now does tax these benefits if you make a certain, over a certain amount of dollars, don't they? my understanding, over $25,000 for individuals and $32,000 for couples.
Can you, in terms of the total income that you have?
Yes.
Yes. All I can do is speak for myself and know that money was taken out for me for this past year. And apparently the way they read the regulations at the end of last year in November, they sent my check back. And so apparently we're not doing any collecting on it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman, any more questions?
Chief Hugo? We do not have any more witnesses on either measure this morning unless there's someone in the audience that wishes to testify on either bill that hasn't signed up.
Mr. Chair, if there are no more witnesses and no one else wants to testify, would you accept a motion on the bill?
Certainly.
I would move House Bill 2866 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Hugo moves House Bill 2866 to the floor of the House with a due pass. Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
The federal government at present imposes a tax on Social Security benefits at a certain level, $25,000.